welcome to Unstoppable Real Estate Investing Wealth. My name is Billy Alvaro, a.k.a. the Unstoppable VA, former billion-dollar mortgage banker, gone bankrupt, turned professional real estate investor, where each week you'll learn the tools, strategies, systems, and secrets myself and other highly successful real estate investing entrepreneurs use to start, grow, and scale their businesses, creating massive profits, and how you can too. And we'll teach you how to put those profits to work so you no longer have to. Get ready to finally experience financial freedom and generational wealth. Now let's get started.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Unstoppable RIA Wealth. I'm your host, Billy Alvaro, the Unstoppable VA, and I'm back with a three-part series, Creative as Fuck, How to Make Deals Happen in a Very Competitive Market. If you're joining me on this podcast for the first time, I appreciate you guys listening in. We go into, it's really about how to learn, how to start, grow, and scale your real estate investing business. And we go through and I interview a ton of the nation's top real estate investors. We go into their tools, their tips, their strategies, their secrets. I get them to like really just break it down and give you like stuff that you can work on to build your business, whether you want to get into fixing and flipping, wholesaling, starting a renovation company, the Burr method, apartment investing, land banking. Like there's so many different topics we go into to start spurring out the ideas in your head. The most important thing is you have to start taking action. On this series that I'm doing, it's a three-part series. I'm doing Creative as Fuck. And I'm doing this because like we're in an environment right now where it's tougher than usual to bring in deals. So you need to do things differently than your competition. If you're a one-trick pony and you're going out there and you're just offering a cash deal, you're definitely leaving deals on the table and money on the table, because the name of the game right now is to get creative and solve problems. I went in this in sections one and two, in the three-part series in sections one and two, regarding, you know, what this means and how to do it. Like it's all about, you've been taught this before. If you've been investing in any length of time, and if you've taken sales courses, you know, it's about know, like, and trust, and it's about building rapport, and it's about going in deep with the questioning. Don't sound like a robot, but it takes more than that. Like if you're gonna start doing deals creatively, you need to start understanding where the problems are and identifying where you could help the sellers and at the same time help yourself make more money, more deals, close more transactions, increase your pipeline, and at the end of the year, have more of a net return on your marketing dollars. I was away for a month. I was in Puerto Rico. I said this in the first couple of sessions, and I was away for 30 days. I worked 5 hours per week when I was away. Still worked. I still had to go on Wednesday mornings for my 2 hours. I'm not pulled out 100% yet. I will be once I get myself a COO, but I'm not, I haven't found the right person yet, but I will. And so I work a lot on my business. I'm only working in it for 5 hours. Doesn't mean I'm not working at all. I'm still doing things, but I'm like growing the commercial end of the business and the apartment investing. So there's still things that I'm working on when I'm not working on the fix and flip. But my time is spent on solving problems in the business, growing the revenue and solving problems. And by me doing this on a weekly basis with my staff and getting into their heads, they're getting really good at understanding how to get deals done creatively. And so in the three-part series, part one, I talked about how to get deals done where it was just filled with IRS liens and judgments and two mortgages that we couldn't pay off. And it was not a short sale. This was a house that had equity. If you want to go back to that one, it's called Deal One, the Super Duper Shit Deal Scooper, Diamonds in the Duty. And I explained why there's diamonds in the duty. Other people would have just killed that deal. We went in, we took it. We're making a shit ton of money on the property, a shit ton of money, no pun intended. On the second deal, it was Till Death Do Us Part. And there I spoke about creatively how to go in and almost do, it's like a life estate, reverse mortgage type deal. And I've done this two times over the last 2 years. We have two more deals in the pipeline. Now, it's not like every month we're getting one or two or three, but if you get one or two deals, if you have 10 or 15 different creative ways that you're able to do deals and you're getting another one or two each one of these creative ways, that's an extra 15 to 30 deals a year with decent profit margins that you might not otherwise bring in. So this is not like the end all be all. You're going to start doing 10 deals a month with these strategies. This is just different tools in your toolbox to start thinking creatively, identify deals, do things that other people are not willing to do or don't know how to do, and you get them done. So this third part is called Judgment Day. So I'm going to give you an overview of the deal, and then we're going to go into what we did. It's a really simple process. Honestly, this podcast is not going to take a lot, but it goes like this. Gentlemen we were dealing with, I just want to go back a second. With all of your sellers, you have to get into the who, the what, the where, the why, the how. You have to ask questions. You know, we went over in a lot of the podcasts and in the training sessions on how to get people to know, like, and trust you, how to build rapport, how to ask open-ended questions, and really how to probe. So, like, you have to get good when somebody says something. You have to think, read between the lines, listen to what they're saying, and ask additional follow-up questions to kind of peel back that onion to really find out what the hell was going on. With this guy, he had a great house, beautiful house. It's like a 4,000 square foot home, dated to shit. Divorced, had a business that went upside down. The guy actually did some things he shouldn't have done, got himself in a jam years ago. He had a shit ton of judgments on the property. Now, he had judgments that could never get removed because these were from the federal government, not IRS. This was like court identified on the property, big ones that were encumbering the property. He owed a small mortgage of like 30 grand, so not in foreclosure, not behind in his mortgage, not a short sale. But he had like, I think it was $950,000 for restitution because he did something they shouldn't have done and they put this against the property. And then he had additional two other mortgages, small ones, and he had a $240,000 judgment and a couple of small judgments. The $240,000 judgment was from a law firm where he decided he wasn't going to pay his law bill, and they put a judgment against him, and it had interest and penalties and all this other shit. Started off at 100, it was up to like 212. So he thought initially when he came in that he wasn't going to be able to sell his house because of all the judgments that were on. He knew he had equity on the mortgage, but he knew that he had all these judgments, and he's like, look, if I can sell this house, I'll walk away with no money. I just don't want to take money out of my pocket to pay off these liens and judgments because I'm not dealing with it. I'd rather just let the property just sit there. If I come back, I'll rent it out, whatever. So I said, all right, the person in my office was actually Nicole. She brought it over to me and I said, let me just get on the phone with this guy to dig a little deeper. So as I started digging deeper, I understood what his mortgages were on the property. I understood that the restitution loan was because he did something he shouldn't have done, got in trouble with the courts, and they stacked this huge fine on him that is not negotiable. Like, they will not negotiate. They will not negotiate the judgment down, but they will negotiate the judgment. This is what we did. And then I looked at these other judgments that I'm like, he has like $260,000 in judgment. So overall, this guy, he would have had to come out with like a couple hundred thousand dollars out of his pocket. So I said to him, look, if we could get this deal done with you coming out with zero, would you sell the property to us? And he goes, of course. I said that to you over the phone. I'm like, all right, let me get some stuff done here. So what I did is I made this a win for him and a win for us. I first negotiated with the big, not me, my team, negotiated with the big judgments, right? The ones that were restitution. We went to them and said, look, here's the purchase and sale. Here's the documents that we have. This guy needs to sell his property. He wants to just pay you a certain amount. He's going to pay you like $50,000 as good faith, and he'll continue to make payments over time. It's like a few thousand dollars a month. The guy said he would do that if the courts would allow it. Court said yes. Went to the other judgments, the smaller judgments, got them to just take a few pennies on the dollar. And then I'm looking, I see this $200,000 judgment. And I'm like, team, if I can negotiate this judgment and actually buy the judgment, this is where actually we got creative. I was able to get the seller like $300,000 cash out. And I was able to get myself a judgment that we purchased that had a face value of $212,000. I was able to buy that judgment for $101,000. So I just created, in essence, this is called, for round numbers, $100,000 in value by buying that judgment for $100,000, had a face value for $212,000. Let's just call it $100,000 and $200,000 just for simple numbers. And so when we got to the closing table, we had actually purchased, I called the law firm. I did this myself, called them, said, look, I'm interested in buying this judgment you have. Would you sell it at 10 cents on a dollar? You know, 20 grand, they laughed. They said the lowest we'll go is 100. Good, draw the paperwork up. Let's get the paperwork over to the attorneys. It took them 2 weeks because the attorneys we deal with out here never did a deal like this before. So I had to explain to them how it was done in the other states, give them the paperwork, showed them how to do this. We actually did a judgment purchase at the closing table. They assigned the judgment over to me. We recorded it. So now this other company owns the judgment. The seller got his, I think, $250,000 or $300,000 cash out. The restitution got 50 grand to them, plus they're getting payments on a monthly basis over the next 30 or 40 years, whatever we negotiated. The small judgments got paid off in the discount. I got a judgment that was face value of 212. I got the 212 on the HUD. I paid 100, so I walked out of there with like $104,000 at the closing because I was able to identify a problem, a judgment that was on the head. The guy never filed bankruptcy, was able to take that judgment, turn around. Now, if I would have bought that judgment and the seller didn't have a benefit, it would have been a shitty deal for him. but he was able to walk out of it with close to $300,000. So this guy was happy as a pig and shit. He was like, look, if you can get me that money, I'll sell it. This deal is done tomorrow. I don't give a shit what goes on. I just want to get my money out. So he walked away with all the cash that he was looking, way more cash than he was looking for. He thought he was going to break even. We got the deal done. I ended up making an extra $100,000 in a property. So the point here is this, judgment day. If you have properties that you're buying and you see that it's encumbered with judgments on the head and the person never filed bankruptcy, you could, in essence, buy those judgments. In this case, I bought it at 50 cents on a dollar. Generally, you could buy these things at 10, 15, 20 cents on a dollar and literally create value, create equity in that judgment by just being creative, thinking outside the box. It's another way to make deals happen. Now, this deal didn't happen because I bought the judgment. This is really a value add for us. We made more money by identifying judgment on the head, buy it at a discount, but we also were able to negotiate that non-negotiable restitution loan on the property. Still, the guy still owes the debt. We're able to negotiate that debt off the property by giving them a $50,000 payment where he thought, he said, look, he's tried in the past and they wanted payment in full. So just creative ideas, guys. Things that you can do to either put more money down south or to actually, you know, help the sellers sell the property in an environment where they really can't sell it. If you want to make more money in deals, you got to think creatively. You have to think outside the box. You got to do things differently than other people are willing to do. Judgment day, buying judgments at a discount, I'm telling you, it's a business in and of itself. Obviously, it's a little sticky, a little tricky, because if you buy the wrong debt, if they go bankrupt, you can get screwed. But if you have, think about this, if you have 10 deals a month that are coming in and you have on these deals two or three that always have these judgments on them and they're $10, $15, $20, $30,000 judgments and you're buying them at a discount, it could literally mean an additional $30, $40, $50,000 on the few deals that you're doing a month. We happen to get lucky on this one and we hit $100,000 additional profit just by buying the judgment at a discount and then giving a face value payoff at the closing table. So look, three-part series, creative as fuck. You want to make more money, you have to think outside the box. You have to start going in deeper with your questionings with the sellers. The whole game of, you know, just offering a cash offer, those days are just about over, man. I mean, look, we're still buying deals, obviously, for cash, but you need to get creative. You have to start doing things a little bit differently. And along with, you know, subject to novations and lease options, I mean, these are all strategies that if you have them in your tool belt, you can start to deploy. Now, here's one thing I don't want you guys to do, especially if you're new or if you're like intermediate and you're not really like sharp with, if you're not crushing it on the single family side with wholesale or fix and flip and you're just kind of learning this game, don't try to do everything and learn everything. You're gonna wear yourself out. The best thing to do, the smartest thing to do, is to partner up with people who have the experience on getting these deals done. If you're a wholesale guy and you don't know how to do subject twos, you don't know how to do novation, you don't know how to do equity JV splits, if you don't know how to do judgment buyouts or debt till death do us parts or the debt negotiation model, partner with somebody who does. Call me, I'll partner up with you. Call somebody that you know in your network, partner up with them. As long as they know how to get these deals done, and then as they're doing it, just have them show you, teach you along the way. You know, do a little Zoom call, you know, two or three times just to say, what'd you do? How'd you do it? You'll learn and you'll earn at the same time. I mean, that's the way to get to the next level, to try to take every deal in on your own and try to master it. And I can tell you from experience, I did this when I first started 14, 15 years ago. I tried like learning about everything. And when you learn about everything and you don't implement everything, you become like the master of nothing. So whatever you're doing, if you're subject to and if you're wholesaling, if you're fixing and flipping, just go in deep with your line. As other deals come in, partner up, squat up with other guys, other girls, and JV with them and split the profits with them. I mean, you'd rather eat a meal than go hungry, right? Like have a meal instead of just going hungry and passing the deal and fucking it up, because it takes a lot to try to get these deals done, to try to learn how to make it happen. So that's my story, guys. I hope to God that you start implementing some of the shit that we're teaching, that I'm putting it out there. If you want to, you know, learn about this, if you want to partner with me, invest with me, go to billyalvaro.com, hit me up on there, fill out the form, send it in. If you want to partner on deals, definitely hit me up. You want to invest money, single families, multifamilies. We have deals all over the place. We're always partner up with people to put their money to work, single family side, fix and flip side, wholesale side, transactional funding. Like if you have money, man, put it to work. If it's sitting in the bank and you're earning a 0.5% interest rate, it's doing nothing for you. I mean, that's it. Quick and easy 16, 17 minute podcast. We're just keeping it real. This is the three-part series of Creative as Fuck. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Unstoppable Real Estate Investing Wealth. My mission is to give you, my listeners, the blueprint for success, the insider secrets for starting, growing, and scaling your real estate investing business so you can experience and live the unstoppable lifestyle. I've made it simple for you. To catapult yourself to success, go to billyssecrets.com. That's B-I-L-L-Y-S, secrets.com. And there you will find every single tool, tip, trick, strategy, system, and secret used to make millions of dollars as a real estate investor. Everything my team uses and my guests use all in one place for you to tap into so you can start, grow, and scale your real estate investing business. I really hope you implement what you're learning. I hope you utilize these tools, tips, tricks, strategies, and secrets. And I hope to see you on the next episode. God bless. Bye-bye.